Again, good morning. It's interesting because this text that we're going to use this morning is one that when I first read it, I was absolutely excited about. And I still am. But this morning, when all of a sudden things don't print and things are going all off, it makes you at times lose focus. And so, as I was sitting in the pew during our singing time, I prayed that same desire to bring this text, one which tells us about who God is, tells us about who we are, and in both, we find out that we have tremendous hope. And that's why I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 29. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his work, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. Please be seated. Now, in order to understand that first part, we actually have to go back to verse 11 of this first chapter. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so the who in the first part of this first word of our text is Jesus Christ. the one in whom we have forgiveness. And this is the thing that we need to understand when we start this text, because this is what Paul is getting to. Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. And these are the first words that, when I read this text, caught my eye. Do you want to know who God is? We sing about it. We talk about it. Well, if God would just show himself to us, then we'd really know who he is. If God would somehow just show us who he is, he has. If you want to know who God is, look at Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the picture. He's the one. And this, to me, is the greatest thing for us to understand in the New Testament church. Yes, we can go back to the Old Testament and we can see the attributes of God. We can see a God who is holy. But the image that God wants us to see of himself is the person of Jesus Christ. That is the number one thing. Because he is the first of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Now this kind of seems a little different. If you think about it, because we worry about all kinds of things in this world. We worry about governments. We worry about our governments. We worry about... I'm trying to think of how to put this in the most eloquent, or not eloquent, but understanding way. We worry about satanic attacks and those type of things. Guess what? Our God has overcome them. Our God, through Jesus Christ, has power over them. We have to quit this worrying. You never saw Jesus when he walked upon this earth, when he faced all kinds of different demons, when he faced sicknesses, when he faced authorities from the government, worry. Because he knew he had power over them. We now are a part of him. We are now his body, as we will hear earlier. We are in the victory of Jesus Christ. Because he's above all things. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. In physics, and this is a long time ago and I'm stretching my brain, but there's this force that they can't really explain that holds atoms together. And I can't even remember if it's like X-force or something. That makes everything in this universe combine and hold together. Scientists are trying to figure it out. It's here. Oh, they might find out what that is, but guess what? It'll get smaller. And that force will always, that holds our universe together and continues to bind us together, is the person of Jesus Christ. And the other thing that we worry about is somehow we have to preserve the church. We have to make sure that the church continues down the road that we think it should go down. But verse 18 tells us that we Don't have to worry about that. And he is the head of the body, the church. You see, sometimes we get mixed up in this whole deal. We think, it's my church. I have to make sure that I preserve it. I have to make sure that I push it in the right direction. No. The church was long before any one of us came here and will operate and continue on long before any of us or long after we leave here. Are we important? Yes. We are part of the church. We are part of the body of Jesus Christ. But He is the head. He will lead, He will guide, and He will bring us to where we need to be. And see, this is the thing that we got to quit messing up. It's not my job to preserve the church. My job is to faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God will bless those efforts. It's our job as the church to bring that message out to our communities, to our people, to let them know that they too are loved, that they too are part of that body. And God will continue to lead and guide His church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. Jesus is first. He's the first one that was raised from the dead in the flesh. Others He raised from the dead, but they all died again. Jesus Christ is still with us. And Jesus Christ is still fully human. He still has flesh and blood. His disciples found this out when they ate with Him, when they touched Him. And so, not only is Jesus Christ fully God, the very image of God, He is also man, like us. For in Him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Sometimes people think being a man or being mankind, human, is a curse. Because our flesh is sinful. This is absolutely not the case. Being a human being is a blessing. Being a human being is the highest form of life that God created. And God allowed His Son to be born a human being, so that the fullness of God would dwell in the person of Jesus Christ. And He didn't feel bad about it. He was pleased to do it. He was pleased to do it for our sake. This is one of the greatest things. It's no longer bad to be human. And a lot of times we hear, well, we're so sinful, we're so rotten. It's no good to be a human being. Look, we sin all the time. But God fixed that problem. He fixed that whole thing. And through Him, to reconcile Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. He has reconciled the world unto Himself. That includes you and I. That includes all of us as human beings. He made that choice. God had His Son come as a human being and allowed Him to go to that cross, to shed His blood, so that we no longer had to feel bad about being a human. If there's something that bothers me in the church, it's that we no longer live in the victory. We live in this idea that we are somehow just barely going to make it into heaven. Well, we just did, you know, are enough that we can make it there. No! God sent His Son, shed His blood for the forgiveness of the sin. It's gone. It's washed away. And that's what Paul tries to explain in this next couple verses, 21 and 22. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach before Him. 2,000 years ago on a cross, Jesus Christ took care of this. And this is who He says you are now. You are holy, you are blameless, above reproach. It's time that we in the church started to realize who we are. And we started to live like we are that person. You see, we get caught up in this thing that we are somehow in this battle. We may see the battle, but we also see in the end the victory. This has been overcome for us. Will we have struggles? Yeah, at times. But we're not to look at the struggles as part of life. That's part of the flesh. We are to look at the end. We are to live our lives like there's nothing down here that can hurt us, because there is nothing. What is the worst thing that can happen to us? We can die. Oh no. At that point, we now are face to face in heaven with the Father and the Son. That is the greatest thing that could happen. And that's why Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. There's nothing here that can hurt us. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable, steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which is proclaimed in all creation under heaven, in which I, Paul, became a member of. The only thing that can happen is we can lose our faith. We can reject what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. That's the sin that'll tear us away from the Father. But He has given us everything that we would never have to do that. And in fact, He gives us the power, because He gives us the Holy Spirit that witnesses to our spirit that we indeed are children of God. You see, this is the faith of Him. And this will make us steadfast and stable, that we won't shift away from the hope of the gospel. You see, the hard part is in Christianity, we rely on what God did for us. And as human beings, unfortunately, this is the hard part for us, because we all like to drive. We all like to be the control freak. We all like to be in charge. We're not. God is. And the head, Jesus Christ, is in control. You see, God has accomplished all of this for us so that we no longer have to worry. We have to live. It is the gospel. It is the grace of God, the good news that Jesus Christ has come, shed his blood upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and died, and then been raised again to bring new life. This is the gospel. But we as human beings kind of like to go, okay, but, and we like to add on to that. There's no but in Christianity. It is Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sin. And that we believe that is the only thing. But our problem is we like to make lists. I know I got a lot of them on my fridge. I got some, my wife's got some, lists everywhere. This is what we got to do, this is what we got to get done. Well, we do that same thing with Christianity. That's not Christianity. Christianity is believing in Jesus Christ. And in that, proclaiming the message of the gospel. Bringing that same love that we've received to others. Not out of some compulsion, but because who wouldn't want to share this type of good news? When you have good news in your life, say, I'll give an easy one. You're going to have a baby. Or you're going to have another grandchild or a great-grandchild. Don't you want to tell people about it? I know, I hear all the time. I hear mostly good news, to be honest, in my job. Because people want to tell about that stuff. And it is a great thing. And this is the same way that we, as believers, need to be excited about our faith. That we would be excited so we could bring this message. And Paul goes on to talk about what we face in this life. Him as a minister of the gospel, as one who changed the face of the known world of his time. He brought Christianity to all the known parts of the Mediterranean Sea. And he says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. Paul, who was faithful to spread the gospel all over the world, was beaten and was eventually crucified like his Savior, says he rejoices in the afflictions of this world. Now, nobody likes to face pain. I used to try to figure that out because it's like, I'm sorry, that does not sound like a lot of fun. I don't know how you can be happy with that. But really what he's saying in that is that he is now feels that he has been worthy to suffer like Christ has. That indeed those who would go against him would see to it that he also was punished. And he also understood that what he was facing here was nothing. All the affliction and the pain that we will face in this world is nothing compared to the surpassing joy of knowing Christ Jesus. And this is the hard part, because I think sometimes we forget and we start to worry. We start to worry about what the government's going to do, what our friends may think, what someone might say to us. Maybe they're going to go against us. Maybe they're going to laugh at me. Who cares? We know the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's very interesting how Paul talks about becoming a minister. Verse 25, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. Notice it is the stewardship of God that leads and guides Paul. This is what brings him to be a minister. Now I somewhat understand this. Because as you know, or I have said to many of you, and some of you may not know this, but 15, 16 years ago, the last place on earth I wanted to be standing was here. That's simple truth. I had other plans for my life. I had other things I was going to do. Today, there is not a place that I would rather stand. God has blessed me, given me a congregation that has cared for me, loved me, and heard the teaching of the gospel. This is the stewardship of God working. And so my job, my calling now, is to make the word of God fully known, so that you too can go out and be ministers of this gospel to your neighbors, to your friends. Because this still is a mystery to a lot of people. People think of Jesus Christ as a good teacher, as a nice guy, as a guy with a good political motivation. But he's much greater than that. He's the full image of God the Father. And this is the mystery that was hidden from people long before this and is still hidden today. Verse 26, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. You see, this message has been revealed to you. This message of God, the Son, coming. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches and glory of this mystery, which is in Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, not only did Christ come as a human being, as a man, Christ now takes up residence in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the greatest promises. It's okay to be a human being. In fact, it's one of the most wonderful things in this world. God became one. And God, in the person of Jesus Christ, now dwells within you. And this is the hope of glory that we have. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Meaning that they would come to the understanding of justification by faith. of believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this I toil, struggle with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. Notice this in the end. For this I toil. This is Paul speaking. Struggling with all His energy. Not His own. But with Christ's energy Himself working within Him. That He powerfully works within me, as Paul puts it. You see, the reason I was so excited about this text is this text tells us exactly who God is. The image of God is Jesus Christ. If you want to know who God is, go through the Gospels and see who Jesus Christ is. Find out how He treats people. Find out how He loves. Don't look at other human beings. And then He tells us about how we as human, the human race, have been redeemed. And we as individuals now live in the victory. And how we now as His body spread this message of the gospel. Not by our own strength and power, but by the power that is given to us through Jesus Christ living in us. This text is so deep. There's so much in it. It's hard to just wrap it up. But if you want to know who God is, look to Jesus Christ and see what He has done for the human race. And for each and every one of us individually. And know that through His sacrifice, His shedding of blood, you are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray.